Well, we've been going through a series called Gospel-Centered Relationships. And the thing that I want to mention is that we have been having our Q&A sessions after the service. And so that Q&A session will continue, except that today we're not going to offer the Q&A through YouTube. Our YouTube will be cut off after service is done, but there is a link in our bulletin. And if you do not have our bulletin right now, I will ask the person that's managing our online live feed, which is Nansen, to put that link about how to join our line group. And it might take a little bit of time to find that out, but hopefully we'll be able to get that to you soon. In the line group, there is a link that has a link to the Zoom account, the Zoom room where we'll be doing our Q&A. And so all throughout the service, I want to ask you if you have any questions, to send your questions to our question and answer website, which can be found at tiny.cc/FPCQNA. Again, that's tiny.cc/FPCQNA. All right? Well, with that, why don't we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. And we will have it on the screen here. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. This is the reading of God's word. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it." Amen. Here's the question for today. What are some of the reasons you've heard why people get a divorce? Take a little bit of time to think about that. What are some of the reasons you've heard why people get a divorce? The statistics, according to the Ministry of the Interior of Taiwan, show that many marriages in Taiwan, whether foreigners or not, end in divorce. And they end in divorce, especially within the first 5 years of marriage. This is a big issue, especially because divorces can cause such pain and heartache and is painful for children. So what does the Bible call us to do when even we as Christians find it difficult to keep a marriage healthy? Well, the main idea for today is seek reconciliation through the gospel. And our three points today are the conflicts of marriage, the ease of divorce, and happily ever after. Again, our main idea today is seek reconciliation through the gospel. And the three points are the conflicts of marriage, the ease of divorce, and happily ever after. Right, so the first point, the conflicts of marriage. As we look at today's passage, we want to understand our passage today within its context. Now, if you're familiar with Matthew, or if you remember from our sermon series in the past, we're looking at Matthew 19 right now, but in Matthew 18, what we find that Jesus talked about is he talked about how we need to be mindful of those who are weaker than us in the faith, and we want to be careful not to stumble them. And it also talks about how we need to, when we get hurt, how we deal with the conflict, but then also how we need to forgive one another. And it talks about what forgiveness is all about, and it gives this parable about forgiveness. And so then with that idea, we come into chapter 19, where we're talking about reconciliation. We come into chapter 19, and now the Pharisees, they meet Jesus, and they ask him this question about divorce. And so we come to verse 1, where it says, "Now when Jesus had finished these things, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And the Pharisees came up to him," verse 3, "and tested him by asking, 'Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?'" Okay, the Pharisees are asking, "Is it lawful for anyone to divorce for any reason?" Well, the reason why they're even asking this is because in Deuteronomy, they're referring to this passage where it says this. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4 says, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house. And if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." The rabbis during that time, they had a debate about what that passage was about. If you find some indecency in your wife, you can divorce her. And some people had a broad understanding, and they thought it could mean anything. And other people, they had a very narrow understanding, and they said, well, it's just talking about sexual immorality. And so they bring this question to Jesus, and it says that they bring it to him, not just because they're curious, but then they want to test Jesus. And so they're actually wanting to challenge Jesus' authority. But how does Jesus actually respond? In Matthew 19, back to verse 4, it says this. "He answered, 'Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate.'" What is Jesus' answer? Jesus' answer is, husbands and wives, you guys should not be seeking divorce. The word divorce should not even be a part of your vocabulary. Jesus is basically saying, you shall not divorce. And then the Pharisees, they come back and they ask, why does Moses say that it's okay to divorce? Well, this is what Jesus says. It says in verse 8, "He said to them, 'Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But," and this is important, "but from the beginning, it was not so.'" It's really interesting because Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees right now. And he says, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives." Jesus is being very specific, and he's saying, look, it's not because of what was just made back then by Moses and because of what was going on during that time. Jesus makes it very personal, and he says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed people to divorce. In other words, people are hard in their hearts, meaning that they're stubborn. They don't want to reconcile. They don't want to work at the marriage. People don't want to obey God. They don't want to delight in what the Lord delights in. And so Jesus says it's because of your sin that you're seeking divorce. It's because of sin, and because of sin and the great amount of sin that occurs in a marriage, that Moses made this type of exception. And yet Jesus goes on and he says that, okay, let me clarify for you what Moses was talking about. He says it is okay to divorce, but it's okay to divorce when there's sin, and the specific sin is sexual immorality. Not to say that divorce is okay, but divorce is possible because sin exists. And then later in the passage, we see the disciples, not the Pharisees, the disciples actually talk to Jesus and they say, well, Jesus, if that's the case, then maybe it's better not to marry. Why would they say this? Why would they say it's better not to marry? Well, because marriage is difficult. Because there are conflicts in marriage. Jesus tells them to not get a divorce and choose to reconcile. But the fact is, and many of us that are married, we know, or those of us that are single that have friends or family that are married, you may know also how there are conflicts in marriage. And why are there so many conflicts? Why is it so difficult? Well, because there are a lot of differences. Let me just name a couple different things that came to mind. And I have this long list. I won't go through everything. But you that are married, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. There are a lot of differences. There are differences between men and women. Men deal with things differently. Women deal with things differently. Men go through seasons in life in using different methods. Women go through seasons of life using different methods. There are differences in family background that could cause conflicts. Maybe some people have a family background where they're richer, some are poorer, some were loved, some were abandoned, some people were trained, other people were spoiled. We have all kinds of backgrounds. Some people were the oldest of the siblings. Some people were the youngest of the siblings. People have different educational backgrounds. Some people are able to communicate well. Some people are not able to communicate well. Some people have different interests. Some people are more interested in sports or video games, technology. Maybe some people are interested in books and celebrity news. Some people are interested in movies and TV shows. Maybe some people are more interested in veggies, and other people are more interested in meat. Some people want their food a little bit more salty. Some people want it not so salty. There are all types of preferences that we have. Some people want to go out and do outdoor activities. Other people want to stay indoors and just rest. Not only that, there are cultural differences. You know, my wonderful wife, she does a wonderful thing every single week. She goes out to the Triangle Park and she spends time letting our kids, run around in the Triangle Park, in the small little park, so that the parents could keep an eye on the kids. And other parents with kids, they go out to the park and the kids are all playing there, and the parents have a little opportunity to talk to each other and to spend time with each other. And Polly, my wife, made an observation that she believes 70% of our church's married couples are actually in mixed culture marriages. Maybe mixed national marriages, but definitely mixed cultured marriages. And it's really interesting. I mean, there was one point in our church where all of the staff were in mixed cultured marriages. I myself am in a mixed cultured marriage. I am Korean and American. My wife is Taiwanese and New Zealander. She's a Kiwi. And so when it comes to differences in culture, there are all kinds of things that people might talk about. Do I put the chicken bones after I eat it on the table, or do I put it on the plate, or do I put it in the graveyard in a separate plate? Do I have more sugar or more salt or not? Do I like to eat things that are sauteed or fried? Do I like beef or pork or fish? Do I like to go to places where it's very now, where it's very lively and exciting, or do I like to go to places where it's really quiet? Do I live with parents or not? Do we have a separate bank account, or do we combine our bank accounts? Should our finances be connected to our parents or not? Should the children, after they get older, should they stay in the house? Should they be allowed to stay in the house or not? Should our children be taken care of our grandparents, taken care of by our grandparents or not? All kinds of differences that we face, and because of these differences, it causes a lot of conflict. Even with these small things, it causes conflict in the marriage, but it's not only these differences. Sometimes there are sins that are major sins that are involved that cause conflict in the marriage. For example, like marital unfaithfulness. For some people, it's physical unfaithfulness. For some people, it's emotional unfaithfulness. Maybe there is sexual immorality. Maybe struggles with watching physical intimacy online. Watching physical intimacy online. Maybe for other people, it's watching emotional intimacy online. Whether that be through dramas or through movies or whatever it might be, and you get emotionally attached to that and you start desiring that type of love. That type of sexual immorality. There is a kind of sin where your spouse is everything to you and your spouse becomes your idol. Or there's another kind of sin where your spouse is nothing to you because something else in your life has become your idol. And either way, in that type of situation, the focus is on yourself. There's a message online saying that there is no sound. If you guys on YouTube are able to let us know if you're able to hear the sermon or not, that would be wonderful. There are all kinds of differences and perhaps even sins that are happening in a marriage that causes all kinds of conflicts. And on top of all this, some of us are in marriages where our values, our core values, are completely different. Some of us were in marriages where you're the Christian, but your spouse is not a believer. And so at the core, your values are very, very different. And so sometimes maybe there are arguments that may occur to talk about whether it's okay to do this thing or not, whether it's considered a sin or not. And maybe sometimes there are questions about whether it's important or not to go to church. Marriage is filled with conflict. And it's because two sinners come together in marriage. And when two sinners come together, there's going to be conflict. If the couple is not experiencing conflict, it's either because they don't spend enough time together or because someone is not speaking up about the conflicts. Of course, there are many other reasons too, but one thing to expect is that there will be conflicts in marriage. And maybe there are times that in your marriage where there were no conflicts, but then there will be a time where there will be conflicts. Or maybe there were a lot of conflicts in the past, but right now you're not really experiencing many conflicts. But either way, in marriage, there will be conflicts. And so the thing for us as Christians to remember is that if we believe that everyone is a sinner, that we all have the potential to sin, then there will be conflicts in a marriage. And the goal is not to avoid conflict, but the goal is, after you face the conflict, to seek how to reconcile with one another. Now, the fact is that there are a lot of conflicts, and even if we try to reconcile with each other, we might still find it difficult. And so a lot of Christians, you know, we don't even have to talk about unbelievers, but a lot of Christians talk about divorce and they think about divorce. And that's where we come to our second point, the ease of divorce. You know, I talk to my children these days, and one lesson that I wanna continue to talk to them about is that it's really easy to break things. And I'm not talking about marriage, but you know, with my kids, I'm just talking about things around the house. It's easy to break things, but it's always harder to put it back together. But oftentimes we choose the easier route of breaking the relationship. A study was done in 2014 that lists out some of the reasons stated on why people in mixed culture marriages, specifically here in Taiwan, why they divorce. People that are in mixed culture marriages, why people in mixed culture marriages in Taiwan seek divorce. And here are some of the reasons. Economic factors, personality clashes, the age gap between the husband and wife, cultural differences, contempt, problem with in-laws, restrictions to make friends, conflicts about parenting, spouse having an affair, self having an affair, spouse having mental illnesses, domestic violence, and others. And among all of the reasons why people got a divorce, it said that marital dissatisfaction was the number one reason why people got a divorce in mixed marriages here in Taiwan. Marital dissatisfaction. Isn't that the same thing that the Pharisees were asking when they were asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Now, what I want to say real quick is just, I want to share with you a bit about what the Bible says about divorce. You know, we did talk about sexual immorality. In the passage today, Jesus mentioned sexual immorality. But as you look through all the pages of Scripture, there are reasons why some people might possibly get divorced. And so I wanted to share that with you from a biblical perspective. The first one is that we talked about sexual immorality already. If your spouse has experienced or gone through sexual immorality, marital unfaithfulness or prostitution, giving yourself away to someone else, then that could be one reason why someone might possibly seek divorce. Another possible reason is found in 1 Corinthians 7, where if you're married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever chooses to leave you and doesn't want to be with you anymore, then that is another reason why one possibly might want to seek divorce. A third reason that's not very explicit in Scripture, and this is a reason that I think we need to be very, very, we have to think carefully about. But as we draw from some of the truths of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians 7, but also in Matthew 19 and Matthew 18, abuse, if you're experiencing physical abuse or emotional abuse, these are things, again, we have to think through carefully. I encourage you to seek counsel from counselors, seek counsel from the leaders of the church if you're going through something like this. If you're in a physical abusive relationship, perhaps the first thing to do is to get yourself out of that situation. But again, seek counsel. And this is a lot more difficult to really come to a conclusion on. But this might be a reason why someone might possibly seek divorce. Now, when we're single, some of us, we want to prepare to get married so that we can live happily ever after. That's the idea that we have. And as Christians, many of us may not consider divorce as a way out. And you're doing your best not to mention the word divorce in your relationship. But because of the conflicts, perhaps we've given up on the idea of living happily ever after. But what we may not often realize is that when we're talking about living happily ever after, when we're talking about marriage, all of this should be pointing to our relationship with our God. And so, though for a lot of us, we think about divorce and it's easy to think about divorce, What we have to keep in mind is that our marriage should be something that reminds us about our relationship between us and God. Now, here's what I mean. We've been talking about gospel-centered relationships all throughout the sermon series. And we're on our fourth sermon right now. But in the first sermon, we talked about that marriage is supposed to point to the ultimate marriage, the marriage between God and his people, between Jesus and the church. And so marriage should be pointing. It's something that continues to remind us about Jesus and his relationship with his people. We talked about how marriage, the idea of marriage in this world, it actually lures us into thinking how it itself will make us happy, but it's not the thing itself that will make us happy, but the relationship with God that actually makes us happy. In our second sermon, we talked about how some people, they desire to become single, to get out of the marriage, or some people, they're single already, and they don't want to get back into a marriage, and there's this lure of singlehood because we want to break free, we want to have freedom. But we also said that the only way to really be free and to find happiness and freedom is if we bind ourselves to Jesus Christ and we have a relationship with him. Last week's sermon was about the pursuit of happiness, in which we talked about how in order for us to prepare for marriage, we need to understand what marriage is about in God's perspective, what it is that pleases the Lord, and seek happiness in our relationship with Jesus and in doing what pleases him. And today we talk about how there are conflicts in marriage. But once again, we see that our conflicts in marriage points to the ultimate conflict between God and man. Every chance that we get, there is a strong temptation for us to trust the lies of this world, that marriage itself should bring us happiness. Or our spouses should be the one that brings us happiness. And when we don't feel the joy, we choose to find our own way to achieve that type of happiness that we're looking for. Whenever we find our own way to find happiness, we're taking our eyes off of God, our relationship with God, and we look to those things, whether it be marriage or our spouses or whatever it might be, and we look to those things and we become unfaithful to our relationship with God. Instead of seeking to reconcile, whenever we face conflicts with our spouse, or whenever we face conflicts with others, with bosses, with our coworkers, with children, with our parents, even with friends or strangers on the street, when we face conflicts, instead of seeking reconciliation, we choose to deal with the conflict in our own way, and we try to find our own sense of peace or happiness. And this is when we reject God and his ways and we become unfaithful to our God. And because of this, we deserve to be cast out. We deserve to be abandoned. We deserve to be divorced by Jesus. We were the unfaithful ones. We were the ones that committed adultery. We are the ones that commit sexual immorality. In Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, it says this. Say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sisters, you have received mercy. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. That she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born and make her like a wilderness and make her like a parched land and kill her with thirst. Upon her children also I will have no mercy because they are children of whoredom. For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will hedge up her way with thorns and I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. She will pursue her lovers, but not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me than, it was better for me then than now. And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. God basically said, I was good to you. I showed my love to you. I do everything for you. But it's my people that continues to turn away. And we deserve to be divorced by God. But he doesn't divorce us. And instead creates a real way that we can live happily ever after. And so we come to our third point. There are conflicts in our marriages. And sometimes it is easy to seek our own way to find our own happiness. It's easy to think about divorce. But God does make a way that we will be able to live happily ever after. And it's not talking about our marriage, within our marriage, how we can live happily ever after in our marriage here on earth. But it's talking about how we can live happily ever after with our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look later in the passage in Paul, in Hosea chapter 11, verses 8 to 9, it says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? God is talking to his people. How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. God says that he will not come in wrath, but he will choose to reconcile with us. Even though we continue to turn away, he continues to pursue us and chooses to reconcile with us. How is this even possible? If God is a holy God and we are sinners, how is it even possible that God is able to pursue a relationship with sinners like us? Well, Paul talks about this very thing in Ephesians chapter 5, where he talks about the relationship between husband and wife. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So that, and this was Jesus's intention, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The reason why God continues to pursue us, the reason why we're even able to turn back to God, is because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He willingly went to the cross to die for our sins. Jesus willingly decided to give up a life of happily ever after in his relationship with us. He was willing to give it up and lay down all of his rights, lay down his glory, lay down his honor, lay down his authority, lay down his control, lay down his safety. He gave it all up to bring reconciliation between us and God, so that he would make us holy, and so that we would be without blemish, and so that we can have this relationship with God once again. He lived and died with this purpose, with this sole purpose, to reconcile us back to God. And amazingly, Jesus declares, and remember, when he talks about marriage, he's not talking about just marriage here on earth. But he's talking about the ultimate marriage, This is what Jesus says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And focus on this next part. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And Paul says, with this picture in mind, he says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is possible because of what Jesus Christ was willing to do for us. He sought reconciliation, and the way that he did it was that he was willing to give up all glory, all honor. He sought reconciliation by giving up all authority, all control, all safety. He gave it all up. He gave up everything so that we would be reconciled to him. And this, when we are connected back to God once again, when we're able to experience his goodness and his love and his mercy, when we're able to experience true justice with him, we will be able to live happily ever after. And so I call everyone here today that's listening to this sermon, turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he did. Remember how he pursued us. Remember how he decided to reconcile with us, and he gave up everything to do that. Remember that and trust him. And trust that because we have a relationship with him, that we are able to live happily ever after. That he gives us everything that we're looking for, all the peace and joy and comfort and love that we're looking for. Be comforted. Receive Christ's love. Receive his forgiveness. And be reconciled back to God. And not only that, as you find that relationship with him filling you with his love, let that overflow from you to other people and begin to bring reconciliation to this world. Be a person that carries this message of reconciliation, not separation, that carries this message of reconciliation to this church, to the people outside this church. Let's together bring this message to all the people all around the world. And so how do we seek reconciliation? You may or may not be able to see everything that's written on the screen. But maybe if we could see the screen on the YouTube channel directly, maybe you'll be able to see it a little bit more clearly. How do we seek reconciliation? Remember is a key thing. Number one, remember with all the hurt that you have, remember that Jesus sympathizes. Remember that even with all the injustice that we feel when you get into a conflict, Jesus will bring total justice. Remember that even though we face all the difficulties in our lives, and even though we feel in our hearts that we're coming to an end, remember that with Jesus, there is such a thing as happily ever after into eternity. Remember that even though we face all kinds of difficulties, Jesus is still king and working things out. Remember that even if the person you try to reconcile with doesn't want to, and you lose a relationship, Jesus will never leave you. Remember that though forgiveness is always possible, sometimes, because of sin, reconciliation, which requires two people to come back together, reconciliation is not always possible. If the other person does not want to reconcile, in those cases, we can hope and continue to hope that we would be able, that there would be a day that reconciliation is possible. And we don't have to be burdened by the fact that we are not fully reconciled to some of those people. But we can always hope for reconciliation. Forgiveness is always possible, but reconciliation is not always possible. And that's okay. Next, number 7. Married couples, here's a specific word for you. Seek to reconcile as you look to how Christ gave up everything to reconcile us to God. Seek to reconcile by giving up all of your points, all of your arguments. Seek to reconcile by giving up your pride. Seek to reconcile by giving up on what you feel like you deserve. Seek to reconcile by giving up what you feel your needs are. Seek to reconcile by giving it all up so that the marriage can be preserved. For those of you that are single, that are seeking to be married, as a way to prep for marriage, seek to reconcile. Seek to reconcile all those relationships that you've had where there was conflict, where maybe even now you feel that there's some awkwardness between you and that other person. Seek to reconcile. Not, it doesn't mean that you become best friends again, but what it means is that there's no bad feelings between you and that other person. Maybe you don't feel it, but maybe the other person feels it. Or maybe the other person doesn't feel it, but you feel it. Either way, seek to reconcile. As you practice this, it will help in your future marriage relationship. For those of you that are single, that are not planning on getting married, reconcile with others and do it. Show love. Do everything that you do for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Do it for God's glory. There is such a thing as happily ever after. You're not going to find it in your marriage. But you will find it in the ultimate marriage, in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So turn to Him today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You so much that You have done a wonderful work, that You were the one that first chose to reconcile with us. It wasn't us. Lord, we're only able to respond to Your wonderful love. And so, Lord, would You cause all of us to be reconciled back to You, that we would turn our eyes back to You once again. And Lord, with the love that we receive from You, may we also seek to reconcile with all others in our lives. And I pray especially for those that are married, that are facing all kinds of conflicts, even now. I pray, dear Lord, that You would work in their hearts, that even if that issue that they fought over is not resolved, that in their relationship, that they would be able to be reconciled to each other. And so, Lord, thank You, and we give all the glory to You. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.